Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject matter that is always in conversation, no matter where you are. What is that subject matter? Weight. How can we keep ourselves physically fit? What do we do? I mean, you will hear about 110,000 different diets. If you decide you want to go and check online for something, then you're going to find everything from eating turnips 16 times a day to whatever else that you might be interested in. And my guest today is Dr. Kent Sassy. I really liked the way he approached the concept of being fit. It's not just a matter of losing weight, but being able to engage in what I feel is really a very healthful, well-balanced lifestyle. So let me give you the information on the book. It's called Life Changing Weight Loss. Feel more energetic and live a more active life with a proven medically based weight loss system. Dr. Sassy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, I was absolutely fascinated with the book. I get so many submissions regarding weight loss and doing all kinds of things to stay fit and trim. And when I went through your book, I thought, gee, is this going to be the regular run-of-the-mill stuff? And it wasn't. You come from a very, I would say, compassionate positioning, but also very down-to-earth. And I want my audience to know about you. You actually have been a pioneer in the field of medically supervised weight loss. And you were the founding director of the Obesity Prevention Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to kids. And you have written more than one book. You are the founder and medical director of the International Metabolic Institute and the Western Bariatric Institute, which is a nationally recognized surgical weight loss center. And you're also associated with the ASMBS Center of Excellence. Obesity is something that I don't think you can go by a day without somebody on television talking about it or seeing a magazine with the headlines in there. How in the world did you become interested in it?
Well, boy, I think just because of so many of my patients who were battling obesity, and even in the context of many other health conditions that they were really being seen for, obesity was the underlying problem that was leading to all the others. So I think it really stemmed from that, just this growing problem that is affecting more and more people.
Well, I find it a fascinating subject because I remember when I was growing up, and I grew up in California, and of course in Hollywood for, you know, God knows how long, they always had this image that was portrayed, and I can remember that the one thing you didn't ever want to do was eat too much, and I think this was long before anorexia was touted. It was cigarettes and coffee to keep you, you know, skinny enough so you could do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was just amazing how at that, you know, years ago, there was this attitude that you were supposed to be extremely thin. You were supposed to do this or that or the other. And, you know, there were the Jack LaLanes that had their exercise programs. He was one of the pioneers in exercise. And I have friends mm-hmm. that say, I remember exercising to that. You know? And here we are today with this, quote-unquote, obesity epidemic. And this is something... How would you classify obesity? Let's first get down. What is obesity?
Well, I think today it is many things, but probably chiefly, I think as a physician, it's a disease and a really quite rampant one with terrible effects. Very clearly has a lot of adverse health effects on us. It raises our rate of diabetes astronomically and high blood pressure, heart disease, sleeping disorders, and markedly shortens our life expectancy. So just from a beginning point, it's a very serious disease that affects just an enormous number of people today. But as you say, it's many other things too. I mean, it's kind of a social condition. It's something that we participate in because we contribute to it, you know, through our choices and what we eat and drink and do. So it's a very complex problem and a complex disease. But I really think first and foremost, we have to approach it as a health problem and one that really deserves some special help and assistance to try to improve it or rid ourselves of it or reduce it.
Now, bariatric surgery is relatively new as in the consideration of science and medicine. We have a member of our family that went in for this kind of surgery because, and this was a retired military officer, he felt no control over his eating whatsoever. And he was so desperate because he had gotten to be over 300 pounds. Now, this is this is a big guy. He was about 6'5", and he had retired from what had been a very active life, and he loved to cook. He was a gourmet cook. And for him, you know, having a hamburger patty and a carrot is never, you know, this just wasn't going to work. It's psychologically, right. He just wasn't going to cut it that way. So he said, I was just desperate. I remember the conversation with him because his wife really didn't want him to go through the surgery. And he said, I just don't see any other way out. And so he had to go through quite a process of being prepared to do this. And psychologically, he had to measure up to certain levels. And one of the things when this surgery is performed is that if psychologically you are not prepared to handle what's going to come your way, you actually can reverse the benefits of this surgery and go back to what you were before. And it was very interesting to watch him. And when I saw him, he had literally lost a whole person. And it took about a year, but he just was thrilled. But one of the things I'll never forget him saying to me is, I still, in my thinking, he said, I really have to be aware because there is this, I'm unable to eat the amounts that I used to eat.
Yeah.
And he said, I want it, but I can only have like a tablespoon or two.
Mm-hmm.
You've been involved with bariatric surgery, and you know all of the ins and outs of it, but you really would like people not to go through that if possible. Am I correct?
Well, I think that I think that bariatric surgery has a role, and it is a very effective tool for the right person. But just as you say, it's not a magic solution, and it does require the psychological components and the hard work to really not only lose the weight but then keep it off for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in part our efforts to create a non-surgical, medically supervised weight loss program started, 8, 9, 10 years ago with seeing patients who were not good candidates for surgery or who were, but that was not enough. They certainly were going to need to do extra work and need the extra components. And really, those apply to all of us. I mean, if we just need to lose a few pounds or if, like, your friend need to lose many pounds, that same devotion and hard work and understanding of the principles that are going to let us get to a healthier place and live a more active, more energetic life, those apply to all of us. So I think there's a role for this kind of information for everybody.
You encourage in your book, you say, when it comes to managing health, weight, fitness, we should not hesitate to ask others for help. Because
right.
We need to be able to do this and to feel good about it. Now, there's a lot of big national organizations. They're on television. We're bombarded with it. We're shown these people that by doing this certain program, blah, 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 it goes on. But we're talking about being able to change a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lots of people can go on restricted food programs, and they're fine, and then maybe they keep the weight off for a year and a half, but something has not psychologically changed within them, and they end up going back and being, you know, I think of the actress, or her name is escaping me right at the moment, gorgeous woman, and bless her heart, she just has ballooned up, ballooned up, ballooned up. She was with a one of the major dietary organizations, and she has put on more than double what she even took off.
I mean, right.
This is something that is really a challenge. How would you recommend people handle this?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It is a difficult challenge. It's a complex one, and it involves fighting some tough primordial urges to eat more and satisfy these hungers that we have. And the food supply doesn't help. You know, we have all of these delicious things around and very high carbohydrate, short-term satisfying foods. But really, in effect, they do make us hungrier within a short time. So there are a lot of forces arrayed against us. But in short, yes, I think that we should ask for help. It's a difficult, complex problem, and it really requires some help to make it happen. I think there are three sort of critical elements to making a successful journey where a person does what you say, and they develop that lifelong habit, and they don't just revert back in a year's time. One of them is to develop a very formal plan and write it down, speak it out loud, talk about it. It can't be kind of a casual desire, or, oh, I'm going to lose some weight, or I'm going to become more fit, but really a plan of action, and only then, I think, can we hit our target. And the second is to get professional help, and I think the professional help often consists of some psychological support, but I outline in the book all of the other kinds of support that have been proven in clinical studies to be effective, and that even includes very simple support like your friends and a network of people who are also motivated to lose weight and get fitter. It could just be a few people you walk with, it could be a walking group with your buddies, or it could be a formal meetings every week where people talk about their own weight loss journeys. And then I think that the third part is that there is a long-term accountability and maintenance program of some kind. It can be loose or it can be very formalized. If you became our patient, you'd be part of a very formalized long-term structure where you feel accountable. You weigh in every so often. Someone's going to check your weight and ask how you're doing, and you feel as though you're part of something. You're not just out there on your own in the wilderness trying to keep this weight off. So I see those as being kind of the three critical pieces. But yes, you really hit on an important point. It does take help, and for most of us, it needs some professional help to be successful.
Now, there are all of these different plans out there, and one of the things that I liked about your book is that you were very candid about weight loss medications that you can buy at the store, or, you know, you find out about, or people will say, gee, join us. I mean, I'm in the Seattle area, and they had this thing on the radio. Gee whiz, we've got this new dietary situation. Join this control group and blah, 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 for people right. that want to lose 30 pounds or more. And in the mentality of individuals, it's as if we expect there's going to be some kind of magic bullet out there.
Right.
And there isn't one.
No, there really is not today. I wish it were not the case, believe me. I wish I had the magic bullet and I could just write it on my prescription pad and hand it to people, but it just does not exist today. You know, you mentioned weight loss medications.
Mm-hmm.
There are several that actually have been shown in clinical trials to be modestly helpful, a few pounds lost with the drugs versus without the drugs. But it's not the kind of magic bullet that is going to make or break your journey. They may have a role for you, and I kind of outline the risks and benefits of them, but really it's a much bigger effort than that, and it's going to take this whole commitment and effort and creating a clear plan and making that change in your habits. No one single magic bullet, I know.
No, there is, I think if there were one, everybody would jump up and down with joy.
Oh, of course. But, absolutely.
But everybody's metabolism is different. And
yes.
In different ages, you have different needs. And one of the biggest things that I've seen through the years is that often there is a level of malnutrition and people won't relate to it. When I was a little girl, I'll just share the story with you, there was a wonderful, wonderful African-American woman that my mother knew, who was a superb seamstress, and she worked for a top designer. And she would have models that would come in, they'd have fashion shows, and she'd say, look at the back of these young women when you watch them model. And yeah. They were literally skin and bone. And she would look at them, she said, I fit them, and I can count every bone in their body. And she said, they live on cigarettes and on coffee, and mm-hmm. they don't eat. So you know that these young women eventually are going to pay a very heavy price physically when they get into their 40s and their 50s if they do not become aware of the fact that they've got to nourish their body. Now, in today's world, we're sort of up to date with that, but I'm still amazed at how many people don't consider nutrition. You do. How important is that?
Oh, it's very important. And yes, I think that there are both ends of this spectrum. I mean, what terrible irony that there are so many people in the world who don't get enough calories in, and here we are with too many calories that most of us are taking in. But then in even more finer details are what are we taking in calories? And one of the surprising findings of running clinics that are aimed at helping people solve their obesity and their overweight problems is finding how many of them have vitamin deficiencies. We do quite an array of vitamin testing, and we find very commonly, most commonly, vitamin D is deficient, even in somebody who's taking in a real surplus of calories, more than they need. And very often, too, what we find is that people are consuming a much higher fraction of their calories in carbohydrates, sweeteners, white flours, all of those yummy-tasting, quick-energy things that come from breads and rices and pastas and sweets, and not enough in protein. So that clearly has played an adverse role in the development of this obesity epidemic, and one that we really see played out in this growth of the epidemic of obesity and type 2 diabetes. So yes, I think nutrition is terribly important. We've learned a lot more in the last years about how good energy sources are eaten in the forms of much lower carbohydrate sources. We don't get the same rush of blood sugar in our bloodstream and the surges of some hormones that we're starting to understand. And we feel less hungry and more satisfied. So some of the pearls of wisdom that came from the empirical days of Dr. Adkins and his diets are showing now to be to have some real truth in the laboratory and in the clinical world as well. But yes, all the vitamins, the diversity of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, we absolutely emphasize as well.
I think our society, because of mass commercialization of food, of convenience, there is so much that most people are not aware that they're taking in.
Right.
And the way food is raised, hormones in the food, all kinds of different products that were not on the shelf 20 or 30 years ago. It's amazing when you start looking at the context of something as how far removed we've gotten from what I call the natural food environment. Let's face it, we're feeding billions of people on this planet.
Right.
There's
right.
a lot of them that are starving to death, but there's really billions that are being fed. So we have learned how to do things on a commercial basis to supply food that we all take for granted, that I remember my grandmother not taking for granted.
Right.
She was born in 1900, and I can remember the first time I ever saw her basement, and my eyes got as big as saucers. I'd never seen so much food in a room, but it was all canned.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to preserve it because you didn't have a grocery store on your corner when you were born in 1900 and were growing up in the horse and buggy days. And it's amazing how now we take so much for granted. We just assume that we're entitled to all of this, and we love the convenience foods. What is the biggest challenge that you're patients, your clients have in dealing with getting away from the convenience foods that are so loaded. Even those dietary products that say, oh, have this, you're going to lose 20 pounds, you know, in 6 months. How do you get away from that? I mean, what's the biggest challenge you found with someone that you've worked with?
Oh, it is a tremendous challenge. And I think there are several pieces of it that make it so challenging. One is just simply the fact that those foods tend to taste great. These are some very sophisticated purveyors of food and multinational corporations with food testers and tasting groups and food scientists, and they've made food that we are designed to appreciate and enjoy. So right there, it's a troublesome problem.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly is that they do sell more when they increase the calorie content and the carbohydrate content of food. So we ourselves are to blame that we are responding and creating this marketplace for higher and higher calorie and higher carbohydrate-containing foods. And then just to make it even tougher, the cost per calorie has gone down markedly over time. And when you throw in the fact that it's also easier and faster to get this kind of food without burning any of your own calories, you know, think
mm-hmm.
of driving through the drive-thru window and digging in your purse for the money. That's
mm-hmm.
nothing compared to going out and participating in the harvest or the hunt. So those are all very daunting obstacles in the environment that scientists have coined the term the obesogenic environment, meaning that our environment is kind of arrayed against us to help promote obesity now, and it's not helping us. So all of those are big factors, and it takes this kind of education and confronting it head-on with a patient to counsel and learn new habits, find ways of doing some important things like, as you mentioned, labels and what's in them, reading food labels and just knowing and being aware or mindful of the calories that you're consuming. If we just start there and don't insist on any behavior change, but only insist on mindfulness and knowledge, people automatically reduce their calorie consumption. So we start there, and then we move on to breaking some old habits and developing some new ones. And it takes time. It really takes probably a year, according to many of the social scientists, to ingrain some very new habits, especially in overcoming patterns that have to do with satisfying things like eating delicious fast food. It takes work. It's not easy, but you have the support mechanism, the counseling, and then the increased awareness. And then people can make a change. And over time, they find that they're really quite satisfied doing it, and they can actually take pride every time they pass by, oh, I used to stop at that fast food restaurant, and I don't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a source of kind of self-congratulations, which is great.
Well, I know physical exercise is very important, and you promote walking.
Yes.
I love the quote you had in here with Ellen DeGeneres. She said, you have to stay in shape. My grandmother, she started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. She's 97 today, and we don't know where the hell she is. I love that. I just absolutely do. Because it reminds me of a friend of mine. Her name was Mama Nash, and she would talk about, she was from Lebanon. And when I knew her, she was, well, in her 80s. And she would talk about visiting Lebanon. And in Lebanon at that time, many of the people that lived on the outskirts, they took care of their own land, their farms, and this type of thing. And she was visiting a relative, and she was in her 90s. She was about 93 to 95. And every day, she would walk to the date palm orchard that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama Nash went with her, and she could barely keep up with her. Well, Mama Nash was in her 80s. This woman's in her 90s. And she's huffing and puffing because Mama Nash was rather chubby. And she said, then she's appalled. This woman who was in her early 90s, she's climbing up these palm trees to get the dates.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
She was saying to her, are you out of your mind? So you can imagine someone in their 80s lecturing this 90-some-odd-year-old woman, telling her this is undignified for you to continue to climb up in the trees at your age. But that was something that was a part of their life. The people in Europe walk everywhere.
Right.
One of the things, and that's because they are so close together. I mean, that is something. A friend of ours went over there to Italy a few years ago. She was visiting some families, and she said, you know, I actually lost 2 dress sizes in the month that I was over there, not because I ate any less, but because I was walking. That's what they do everywhere. They had to go every day to their local market to get their fresh vegetables. And every day they were marking. walking. And here we are in the world, it's like, well, if I can't drive there, I don't want to go.
Right, right. Oh, I know. Gosh, absolutely important. That exercise is critical. And if it can be built into our lifestyle, our habits, the people we see, the activities we do, and who we are as people, then we don't have to think about it. But for so many of us, we have to create that. We're going to have to add in walks with the dogs or with the family or the kids or even going down and walking on the treadmill if, you know, the climate and the environment don't allow getting outside. It takes a real active effort and a plan to make it part of the day-to-day life. But once you do, it's very satisfying. It helps with a host of problems. It helps us mentally. It reduces depression and anxiety. We feel better. Oh, it's critically important. Plus, it helps us build that lean body mass and burn more calories, be stronger, and feel better. So, gosh, so many benefits to that regular exercise.
You bring up something that for years has been a taboo, fat. You say fat does something good that carbs and protein do not do as well. Fats create satisfaction, and our hunger will be less when we have fat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How, this is something you still hear today. Fat is bad for you. Don't do this. Don't do that. Let's see if we can do something with this, because fats are necessary, especially with women. They need to have fats because of their hormonal balance. If they don't, if they are fat deprived in their diet, their hormones are severely affected, and it affects the brain as well.
Yeah, fats are an important and necessary part of our diet. There's no doubt about it. I think where fats have gotten a bad name and are justifiably something to focus on is that each gram of fat carries more calories than a gram of carbohydrates or a gram of protein. So instead of 4 calories per gram of carbs and protein, there are actually 9 calories in every gram of fat. So, you know, if you were to eat, oh gosh, more than your usual amount of fat, you would be taking in more than double the amount of calories that you would if those were protein or carbs. So those calories do count, they do add up, they do contribute to weight gain over time. But I think that where the clinical science has gone in the last, 10 or 15 years is moving away from the idea that fats directly lead to fat creation and fat deposition in the body. Excess calories are really what lead to that fat deposition in the body. So if we can overall reduce our calories, that's going to require us to eat things that are satisfying so we aren't constantly hungry and looking for snacks and meals and increasing portion sizes. And it turns out the key to that is probably much more centered on reducing carbohydrate content. That's the stuff that tastes good immediately, but then leaves us somehow unsatisfied, wanting more within a half an hour or an hour. I mean, think of the sweets and pastries and the rices you might eat. It's delicious at first, but it's not very long-lasting. And that's, in fact, what's happening in our metabolism as the blood sugar skyrockets and insulin and leptin, these important hormones, also shoot up, and then they fall very quickly as well and leave behind a sensation of needing to be fulfilled with more food, more sugar, whereas fats don't do that. It has a very slow onset. The blood sugar does not rise quickly at all. It seems to be a more sustained feeling of satisfaction and tends to reduce hunger rather than increase it. So fats and proteins are probably need to play a little bit greater role in terms of the portion of our calories. Now, we don't want to get carried away. We still have to pay attention to the overall calorie counts, which is going to limit fats. You're just not going to be able to consume lots and lots of them. But certainly a good, healthy amount is great.
Now, you bring out some interesting points about many people who are excessively overweight have vitamin B deficiencies. And I personally know someone who was flabbergasted to find that they were not absorbing the nutrients at all. Well, they had not, and this was a mature lady that's in her 70s, and she went in and she couldn't figure out why she was having such a terrible time with certain things in her life, and her health wasn't all up to par. She was sort of dragging, and they did, fortunately, she had a young doctor who was up to par with nutritional blood tests and this type of thing. And she said, my goodness, it's like you don't have any B in your system whatsoever. And so she put her on a prescription vitamin B And the turnaround in her was like in 48 hours. The difference was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So she had been suffering for a long time. What kind of tests can people ask for to find if they have a nutritional deficiency or if something is out of balance hormonally? What should they ask for?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think more and more physicians are offering vitamin testing, and they've become more widely commercially available in the labs that all of us have access to as doctors. So, for example, in our centers, it's pretty routine that we will order a whole panel of individual vitamin levels that be tested. Not too many years ago, those would have been very specialized tests that would have had to go out to a research lab and taken weeks to get an answer, and would also have probably been expensive. For the most part, I find that these more routine vitamin level tests that we run are covered by standard insurance plans, although I suppose if we did them too frequently, they would probably stop paying for them. But for the most part, I think they're pretty routine. So I think that a person could just mention to their family doctor, ask them if they're familiar with doing vitamin testing, and just mention the common vitamins, the B complex vitamins, and especially vitamin D, D as in Delta. Those can be tested pretty easily, and the interpretation of those tests is not terribly complex. And the solution is, as was for your friend, is to supplement them with some additional vitamins if their levels are low. So it's pretty straightforward. Now, there are some trace elements and some other vitamins that are being tested in research labs that are just very rare occasions, and most people would not find that particularly beneficial, and it would probably would still be in the realm of being something expensive and unusual, only if there were some real strange, obscure symptoms that no one could get a handle on. And for that, I would probably stick with a specialist endocrinologist or a specialist in vitamins and nutritional medicine.
You also, in your book, talk about the necessity to get a thyroid test, because many times people have thyroid problems. And you say if you're going to be on a program, a food program, you should have periodic routine blood tests of potassium and electrolytes.
Mm-hmm.
And you always should be checked for diabetes, of course, heart disease, sleep apnea. And if someone's over 50, you recommend a treadmill test, a colonoscopy, and a mammogram.
That's right.
And that's very interesting that you recommend that. Also, you say people should keep an inventory of their prescription medications if they are taking them, so that if they want to follow a food program, they need to be aware that certain food programs may be, work for them and others may not. We're going to be cutting back on the calories, obviously, and you have to be mindfully attentive, but it is being aware of what you physically are able to work with comfortably, because you're really wanting to change your way of life. And you have so much in your book that I think is just so down to earth, and you just really give some marvelous, marvelous information. And I love it when the question is posed, will everyone lose 40 pounds in 90 days? And you're saying, for heaven's sakes, no, everybody's different. And that is so true. And you will have one person that can follow a certain food program and they can drop, you know, 15 pounds in 3 days. I mean, you see this plastered all over magazines.
That's right.
And the average person is out there saying, I followed that exactly. I didn't even lose a pound. And their husband, women especially, will say this. And the husband will say, well, I tried it for a week and I lost 13 pounds. And you want to kill them.
That's right. We are all different. And yeah, that is so true. And all of those things you mentioned, the blood screening, the thyroid testing, those are all the things that a medically supervised program brings to the table that just regular old weight loss programs and centers cannot. And for most people, do they make a big difference? Not always, but they really can impact a person's weight loss and their goals and their overall health. So I try to just make that information available to anyone, even if they're not working with a doctor. At least they can understand what a weight loss physician would be doing to augment what they're doing on their own.
Well, let me tell you, Dr. Sassy's book, Life-Changing Weight Loss, is one of the most practical, down-to-earth presentations of information that you could want. It's up to date. It talks about nutrition, talks about what you can have in the way of support. It also talks about iMetabolic, which is a product that can assist if you are wanting to really do something for yourself physically and get nutrition at the same time. So you can go to his website, iMetabolic, and that's the small I, metabolic.com. But I recommend his book highly because of the common sense that's in it. Dr. Kent Sassy, I'm so delighted that you were able to be with me today. I know that so many of my listeners are just really battling the bulge, and they go, isn't there an easy way? And the truth is, well, other than tying your hands behind your back and living on water, you know, for 60 days, I don't think there's an easy way.
There's not an easy way, but there is a way.
There is a way, and you're very compassionate in the way you approach it, and I just think that you've done a wonderful service by publishing this book. Also, for those of you listening, there are resources, all kinds of organizations that you can check out and you can be in touch with if you need to know about any of their support opportunities that they need to know about them. You'll have those support opportunities available. Go to his website, iMetabolic.com, and you'll find out more information not only about his book, but also about the products and services that are offered to encourage wellness and good health and feeling fit in your life. Dr. Sassy, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888 1-800-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initials. That's right. That's all I need. Of course, I'd like to know where you're calling from, too. And then after that, I will tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of interest to you. I do want to mention, if you have a specific story regarding the paranormal, I'd love to hear from you. I am putting together a book. I am wanting to collect 100 stories from you, the listener, and or any of your friends that may have had a very special experience of their own. And the reason I'm wanting to put this book together is so that other people will not think that they're in a weird space or something's wrong with them when they've seen a ghost or if they've had an out-of-body experience. But it needs to be something that you personally have gone through and that you would like to share. So if you'd like to send that to me, send it to via snail mail to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, or via email, donna@delphiinternational.com. And for those of you that have not received my newsletter, and if you'd like to be on my newsletter email list, just send me an email at that same one I gave you, donna@delphiinternational.com, and I'll put you on the mail list so you get my email newsletter every month. But again, I want those stories because I'm going to be putting them together. And of course, I need your contact information in case the publisher will want to have you sign a release agreement saying that you're happy to share the story. But anyway, that's on that. And then the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is coming up. For those of you who are listening in the Pacific Northwest, this is a show of shows for the gals. March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Ladies, put it on your calendar, set up, and just have a plan that you and your girlfriends are going to go for someday during that weekend, maybe come during the entire weekend. Just come in and plan on having a blast because it is so much fun. Now, on Friday, March the 5th, I am going to be overseeing a forum that is going to be for 3 hours, 6 powerful speakers. These are all women that are very skilled and knowledgeable in their areas of expertise. We're going to be talking about money and business in the first hour. The second hour will be about energy healing, and this third hour will be about animals. So we're going to have 2 speakers each hour, and there will be an opportunity for you to interact and to ask questions. Also, I'm going to be in booth number 407 at the Women's Show, and I will be delighted to do readings for you there. And I'm going to have a tremendous array of books, some audio tapes, and some CDs, as well as perhaps a couple of videos. So just know you'll be able to come on by, and we're going to have a special drawing, and I would just love to have you come by and say hello. So again, that is going to be going on March 5th, 6th, and 7th. For those of you up in Alaska, it looks like I'm going to be coming into the Alaska area, Fairbanks and Anchorage primarily, and it'll be after the 8th of April. So I'll have more information about that. The dates are going to be all confirmed and put into positioning by March 1st. So that information will be out in my next newsletter. All right. Telephone lines again are open, 888-815-9756 if you want to chat with me. I was sent an email by someone, and I just loved the photo. I sometimes wish I were on television so you could see some of these photos. There is this photo of this dog that is a part boxer and part British bull mastiff. And if ever you've seen a mastiff, you know how massive they are. They are just huge. And you can understand why they're so intimidating to anyone. Well, this photo is of a canine whose name is Brutus. And he is a military canine at McCord Air Force Base. He weighs 200 pounds. So you can imagine if this thing started chasing you, what you would feel. You know, you would have an adrenaline rush that would be unreal. Well, the handler took this phenomenal picture. He looks like something in a Sherlock Holmes presentation, you know, the Hound of Baskervilles, where the mouth and the liquid coming out of it, the tongue, this eyes that are wide open. Well, the handler took a picture and just caught this boxer, part British Bull Mastiff, at the right moment. Brutus was running towards his handler. He knew that his handler had some special treats in his pocket, and he's just slobbering away. And his handler said he had to duck around a tree just before he got to him, just in case he couldn't stop, but he did. Now, Brutus is a very special dog. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor last year from his tour in Iraq. His handler and four other soldiers were taken hostage by insurgents. Brutus and his handler communicate by sign language, and he gave Brutus the signal that meant, go away, but come back and find me. Now, the Iraqis paid no attention to him. He came back later and quietly went after one of the guards, injuring him very badly, and going after the other guard, and then he jumped against one of the doors repeatedly because the soldiers were being held in an old warehouse, and he got the door open. He went in, untied his handler. They all escaped. He's the first canine to receive this honor, and he said if he likes you, he thinks that he's a lap dog. Can you imagine 200 pounds of boxer bull mastiff mixture sitting in your lap? Woo! And he likes cats. So he is a canine Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, the person that sent this to me, this was Lisa. She said, here also are a pet's 10 commandments. And number one is, my life is likely to last 10 to 15 years. Any separation from you is likely to be painful. Two, give me time to understand what you want of me. Three, place your trust in me. It is crucial for my well-being. Four, don't be angry with me for long. And don't lock me up as punishment. You have your work, your friends, your entertainment, but I have only you. Five, talk to me. Even if I don't understand your words, I do understand your voice when you're speaking to me. Six, be aware that however you treat me, I will never forget it. Seven, before you hit me, before you strike me, remember that I could hurt you, and yet I choose not to bite you. Eight, before you scold me for being lazy or uncooperative, ask yourself if something might be bothering me. Perhaps I'm not getting the right food, I've been in the sun too long, or my heart might be getting old or weak. And lastly, nine, and is, please take care of me when I grow old. You too will grow old. Number 10, on the ultimate difficult journey, go with me, please. Never say you can't bear to watch. Don't make me face this alone. Everything is easier for me if you are there, because I love you so. And Lisa ends with, she said, take a moment today to thank God for your pets, enjoy, and take good care of them. Life would be a much duller, less joyful experience without these wonderful creatures. We don't have to wait for heaven to be surrounded by hope, love, and joyfulness. It's here on earth and has four legs. Thank you, Lisa. That was absolutely wonderful. And Brutus, you are something else. That's all I can say. I wonder how much that dog would eat. He is a big boy. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for just a moment. 888-815-9756. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about a couple of women that are absolutely awesome in what they have been able to achieve in an unusual way. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Tomorrow we're going to have as a guest Stefan Martin, Cosmic Conversations, and it is good information. On Thursday, we're going to be talking about the extraterrestrial answer book. Jim Maroney is going to be my guest then. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with a former medical officer, military medical officer. His book is called Mass Casualties. Michael Anthony. He's going to give us a view of what our men and women are going through when they have to deal with tremendous emergencies on the war front. And it's just a powerful week that we have this week. And you can go on to BBS and also find out about the other guests that are coming up this month. We always have them listed. And where before you used to need to scroll all the way to the bottom before you'd find what's upcoming, well, we've reversed that now. You're going to see at the top of the page of information regarding shows, what's coming up and who's going to be on, you're going to see it right at the top of the page. So you no longer have to scroll down. We had a listener that contacted us and say, gee, it would be nice if that could be reversed. Well, we've started it, and you need to know that that's the case. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you a story about a woman who started something. She loved to knit and loved to crochet. But she never realized that from this simple activity that she would not only affect the lives of perfect strangers, but she actually would start an organization. Now, how did this come about? Well, the gal's name is Kathy. Her name is Kathy Silverton. And she would look at the babies, the premature babies in the hospital, and she said, it was always heart-wrenching to her, and she always was very concerned about the mom. So she decided she'd make up a little kit. And you know how preemies are so tiny. They're so very, very tiny. And she would give a nurse, you know, say, here, this is for the mom. And the nurses always loved to see Kathy coming because she said it was always so hard. A lot of the babies die because of being born prematurely. Some of them are fortunate enough to live, and some of them dealing with all kinds of disadvantages. And when she watched this one young mother with her baby son in the hospital put on the cap that she had knitted for the little person, and it had a pattern on it that it had a big red heart, Kathy just felt so good about it. She said she knew she couldn't do anything to help the babies, but she felt it was important to help the mom. And she watched the mother's face when she was handling her little tiny person, her little baby, and she saw how much it meant to her to be able to take off the cap that the hospital had and put on this little baby's cap. And the nurse would tell Kathy, you just don't realize the incredible gift you're giving to these mothers. It's just touching so many people. Now, Kathy is not a wealthy woman, and her daughter is the one that came to her one day and said, Mom, look at this article. And it was about American babies, especially the premature babies, born into phenomenal levels of poverty. And she said, Mom, these babies, the mothers don't even have clothing for them. You knit. She said, Mom, you're so good. Could you help out? And how would you feel if a young teenager came to you with this kind of a suggestion? Well, Kathy responded to it. And she called up different hospitals and asked about the preemie baby section. She said, could you use some little outfits? Do you need things for these babies? And they said, oh, yes. And we also have full-term babies that have needs, too. Well, being the knitter that she is, she just picked up those knitting needles and started getting busy. Well, Kathy was taking those needles with her everywhere she went, and people began to notice and ask, why are you doing baby things? you don't have grandchildren. And Kathy told them the story, and they got excited. They said, well, I'll make something, too. This is wonderful. Now, Kathy, because of her love of knitting, had gotten to know the people that had yarn stores in the area, and so she went in there. Do you know, there was an article that was written up in her local neighborhood paper, and more than 200 women responded to that article and said, we want to help you do this. So they ended up contributing enough baby garments. Can you imagine 200 women with clicking needles just either crocheting or knitting baby garments? Amazing. She was overrun. She got so many baby items, it took over three rooms in her house. She said it's the biggest knitting circle anybody's ever put together. So what she decided she was going to do was start a nonprofit organization to send handmade baby clothing to hospitals. And she said she knew that her daughter was the primary inspirer of this. She said, I wanted to call it Stitches from the Heart. So you can go and check this site out, stitchesfromtheheart.org. Well, Kathy was picking up hundreds, not dozens, hundreds of little tiny hats, booties, sweaters, blankets for the preemie babies, and who needed extra warmth because they just don't have enough body weight to have it. Babies who lived in housing projects, and one baby whose young mother had nothing left after she was robbed. They were able to give her plenty of things for her baby. And she found out about these different conditions from the nurses at the hospital. She got thank yous from all over. Nurses were writing her. Mothers were writing her. And one letter, I'm going to share this with you, came from a mother. She said, my daughter survived only 2 weeks. All I have left is her blanket. It's the most precious thing in the world to me. Kathy just was flabbergasted. Now, she wasn't the only one that was moved by all of these things. So were all of the rest of the knitters. There were mothers whose girls and boys had grown up, left home. There were elderly women who loved to knit in nursing homes, who felt like they now had a purpose because the world had forgotten them. Cancer patients. Yes, cancer patients. People in hospitals that didn't feel like they had much hope were knitting tiny sweaters when they were going through chemotherapy. Volunteers all over were just saying, thank you for letting me be a part of this. One of them, the volunteer's name was Marilyn, she said, knitting is my refuge, and when I make something, I pray for the safe journey of the little one who receives it and hope it reminds a parent that someone cares about them and their child. Today, Stitches from the Heart is 14,000 volunteers strong. Every booty, cape, cap, blanket, as she said, is touching not only the baby for whom it's providing a warmer start, but also the person who's crafted it with love. She said, I never would have guessed that a suggestion my young teenage daughter gave me would make such a change in my life. She said, wow, this is such a blessing. All of these things evolved because someone chose to take action. Never think that you do not have a place in this world. Never think that you do not have something valuable to contribute. You may not knit, you may not crochet. That's not the issue. This was something that was a passion for Kathy. She did this because she loved doing it. Maybe there's something you can do that you absolutely love. It could be playing a guitar. It could be baking pies. It could be designing houses. It could be working towards the environment. It could be helping to create a healthier political environment. It could be anything. But when you do it from your heart center, when you give it, you're going to find all kinds of support. Why? Because people care, and they want to be a part of something that makes them feel like they have value and purpose. You don't have to go around beating a tom-tom. That's not necessary. You can just be who you are. Think of the gal, Jean, who started Weight Watchers. She started that because she had a heavy-duty weight problem. And she found she needed support. And look at what that has evolved to. And she started in her living room. Mary Kay with her cosmetics. There are so many stories that we can hear about. And you don't have to be wealthy. Kathy isn't wealthy. You don't have to be famous. All you have to do is be true to who you are. And the rest, well, will seemingly take care of itself. Because there are those people that want to see you successful. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. When you're true to yourself, when you take pride and joy in doing something that for you has value, other people will notice, especially when you strive for excellence and you give it without any kind of limitation. You're going to win, hands down, big time. Kathy Silverton did it. So can you. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow. Cosmic Conversations is what it's going to be about. Have a wonderful day. Be back here, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.